Welcome to this Muggo Story Podcast. I'm excited to continue our Accelerating Man series. Today, I've got a good friend of mine. We've known each other for, 5 years, 4 years, 6 years, something like that. Tom Hayes, all you F3 guys out there listening, watching, whatever, we'll know him as Banjo, and this guy is awesome. So, Banjo, how are you doing today, brother?
I am doing well, thank you. Though a little tired. This is late for me.
It's 8 o'clock, 8:08 p.m. on a Monday night, and he's crying that he
his extra credit runs start early.
Well, yeah, they do. It's 4 o'clock, 4:30. It's getting crazy. Yeah. So anyway, right off the bat, again, this series is called Accelerating Man, and I am interviewing different guys, kind of in my circle and beyond, who I know are accelerating at something in their life. So, Banjo, why don't you tell me kind of a, 1 to 2 minute version of what is it right now that you are focused on accelerating?
Well, it's kind of like we talked about a little bit earlier. So right now I am accelerating, maybe decelerating is a better word. But the thing that's my focus right now is this thing called the Do Epic Shit Challenge that Build-A-Bear and I dreamt up back in November of last year after I think it was a Saturday morning run or something. I can't quite remember, but we were sitting over having coffee at New York Bagels over in Waverly Place, and we were both talking about some of these just wild-ass things that we wanted to do. And we were both talking about some things that we wanted to do years ago, and we have not done them, and it's just kind of fallen off the side for whatever reason. That was. And for me, for some that don't know, I'm an alcoholic, and drinking tended to sideline a lot of goals and aspirations that I had. I always wanted to do it. It just, I never felt good enough to be able to do it. So we were sitting there drinking coffee and talking about some of the things we wanted to do. For me personally, it was, I used to want to run the North-South Trail at Lamb Between Lakes in Western Kentucky, and never felt good enough to be able to do it.
Tell me about that race a little bit. Give me the stats of it. How long is it? Where is it at?
It depends on whether you pick it up, but I mean, you can pick it up for 50 miles. I was looking at doing it like 30-ish miles.
Okay.
Which would be just a part of it. But still, that was like just way out there. It's like a big old hairy audacious goal. Wasn't a race. It was just something I wanted to do. Crazy, but that's kind of the way I am, but never could wrap my hands around training for it. I never was motivated to do it. None of my friends would support. I mean, we were all drinking on Friday and Saturday nights. I mean, what else are we going to do?
Right.
So I really didn't have any support, and I was kind of like floundering and lost. I knew I could do it. I just didn't have the network of guys that would help me get to where I wanted to go. So that was decades ago. And I'm talking like 25 years ago that first thought occurred to me, and it never happened. Mm-hmm. So Build-A-Bear and I were talking about it, and he had some similar type goals. I think he wants to do the rim to rim to rim. That may have been the one that he was talking about at the time. So we felt like, okay, we got to do something crazy together. And so we started talking about like 50K ultras, and we started looking and Googling, and then we stopped and we just kept talking and having coffee. And by the time I got home, there was like four great races that Build-A-Bear had already like emailed me, and he said, what do you think about this one and this one and this one? And going through there, I was like, well, we got to do this one, which happens to be the Quest for the Crest, which is a 50K. It's got 12,000 feet of elevation gain, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And we're like, okay, we're doing it. And neither one of us were even qualified to do it, because at that time I'd never run more than 18 miles on a street.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, when you have to have run another 50K ultra trail run within the last 2 years. And I'm thinking you will run more than 18 miles. So we'll figure this out. And this is November, and we have 6 months to run a 50K as to lead up to this other 50K that we're supposed to do. So it was kind of daunting, to say the least. So that's how this whole thing got started.
Okay, good. Kind of breezed past the second question, which was, you know, what led to this decision? So you kind of worked that into it. So that's good. So what was the plan? Like, you know, when you guys sat down and figured this out, especially with the DES challenge, you know, you guys kind of cooked that up and came up with this idea, hey, we want to run some races, but you also wanted to bring it to other guys to get involved as well. So tell me about what that plan was.
So it started out with us just talking about wanting to do something crazy for ourselves, which ended up being the 50K. And well, it's not complete yet. Because that got postponed thanks to C-19. But we felt like, why limit this to ourselves? Why don't we encourage other men to find something that they've wanted to do all their life that they would like to complete? And it can't be something that you can just drop money and go do. It takes training. It's going to take time. It's going to take accountability and some partnership to make these things work. But we wanted to encourage other men to also kind of step up their game. And it's been really kind of interesting. I think we got 19 guys that have paid up and have decided to participate.
Yeah, so tell me about that. Like, what are the details if somebody wanted to jump into this challenge? What did you guys kind of lay down as, all right, in order to do this, you know, you got to do this, this, and this to kind of sign up for this? Because I thought this was kind of cool. So tell me more about that.
So the way we set this thing up, so Build-A-Bear and I got it going. And those that don't know us, Build-A-Bear is kind of a freak of nature.
Just a little bit.
He does not stop. The guy can muscle and work himself through any bad situation, whether it's physical or mental or whatever. The guy's got game. Me, I was just a college soccer player. I'm kind of fast, but I'm kind of small, but I do have some fortitude and some discipline, and I like to muscle through things myself. Mm-hmm. But we didn't want to be intimidating, so we did bring in two other guys that also be on this vetting committee, because we wanted to vet these things so that people don't just come in and say, hey, I want to run a 10K, and they're running 5Ks every day.
Yeah, right. You
know, that's not – there's nothing.
That's not really a challenge.
No, I mean, if you're running 5Ks now, you can run a 10K now too.
Yeah.
We wanted to vet it. So we got some guys that, you know, one guy's got some knee problems, another guy's kind of slower, and then we also brought in Shut In our Nantan to help kind of balance things out pretty good. And
so yeah, he's pretty useless. So.
Hey, he's on my BRR team now. Come on, he's awesome.
Oh, he joined. Okay.
Yeah. He's got like 20-something miles to run. So
love you, Matt.
Yeah. So we got five guys on this vetting committee, and we've asked people to think about something crazy that they really want to do, and it doesn't just have to be physical, like running. There's a guy right now, Pierogi, is participating, and his epic challenge is this 2-week tour with his family in a motorhome, and they're driving they're hitting like 20 national parks or 10 national parks. I don't know. It's some big number. But he's doing this big event with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, it takes some commitment. It took some accountability to make it happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one item, you know, but there's another guy who he's never run more than like 300 miles in a year. And he said, okay, I'm going to run 1,000 miles and I'm going to finish a Maynard, which is 10 miles, but I'm going to do a Maynard Murph. So he's going to run the 10 miles and then do a Murph. Well, the guy at the beginning of the year could never do more than 5 pull-ups. Mm-hmm. So he's got until December to get this thing done. And for
those who don't know, so a Murph is you go run a mile. This guy's going to do 10 miles. You do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squats. Then you go run another mile.
Yeah.
So
he's only going to do the Maynard once.
I was going to say he's only doing the Maynard once, but okay.
But he's going to finish with a mile. But he's going to do the pull-ups and the push-ups and squats.
Yeah.
And the guy currently, I mean, here it is August 1st, and he's a little behind on his running goal. It's time
to make it up. He's got 5 months.
He can easily make it up, but he's, I think he's like 50 miles behind on where he needs to be. But there's a, you know, several guys, BRR, they're doing some BRR things, and we told them they couldn't take the short legs. They had some longer legs or include a mountain goat in there.
There you go.
We wanted to push them a little bit. There was another guy who wanted to do a marathon, and we told him no, because the guy at that point in time could have done a marathon. And we're like, but if you want to put a time hack to it, now that's a different story. Ended up not, he's going to end up doing it later in the year. But, you know, we've had a lot of interesting ideas come through. Most of them are physical, but, you know, Pedogi's got a great one with the family going on.
Well, and I thought it was interesting, too, because you made the guys not only pick something that was going to push themselves really hard, you also made them, you know, pay up a little bit. So what was the motivation behind that?
So have some skin in the game. So you just don't throw out, hey, I want to go do this, and then like blank on it. So it's $50 buy-in. If you complete the challenge, you get this really cool t-shirt at the end of the year. And, actually we're going to distribute those at the Christmas party. Maybe we'll have you talk again. Who knows?
I can't wait. I'm writing right now.
but if you complete it, you get a t-shirt, and there's been one guy who did not complete it to the way he said he would do it, but what he did, I think we're pretty much thinking that he's got it.
Yeah.
Because it's close enough. I mean, he put forth a ton of effort. But anyway, so that the remaining money will end up going to our CarPex fund to be given away to charity, that one of the charities that we support through CarPex.
That's awesome. That's great. So cool. So we've talked about the plan. We talked about kind of what you guys were thinking to get it going. So to this point in the year, you know, what sorts of fruits have you seen come from this labor?
I was thinking about this just the other day. I tend to think about grace and forgiveness just because I've got a lot of, I mentioned earlier about my little drinking party issue that I've had most of my life. And so when I go on these long runs, I tend to think a lot about forgiving of others and trying to have more grace with people. And it was just a couple of weeks ago, I kind of decided that, you know, I really need to focus on the forgiveness of myself. And I really have been, but I haven't really put a lot of attention to it. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that, to really forgive myself, I can't just, you know, for those that are Christians, you know, God just gives you his forgiveness and it's okay, it's done. I think we as humans, we can't quite do that for ourselves. And I can forgive myself, but to maintain an ongoing forgiveness, I have to be accelerating beyond a status quo, or I got to be moving in a direction that's in a positive direction. Just like hanging around you men, the F3 men that I hang out with, y'all pull me towards a better version of myself. And when I run, it's a way of forgiving myself because I'm making myself better. I'm facing the difficulty. I'm facing all those words in my head. They're telling me I'm tired and I want to quit, but no, I have to muscle through it and push through it. And it's just a constant reminder that I can't just like let life happen to me in all senses of the word, but there are pieces of it I need to control and I need to move forward. And what's come out of this is, you know, some of these long runs are pretty damn long. I haven't done as long as some people, but I did do a 50 miler and it hurt and it was painful. And it didn't happen all at once. And I've learned that it takes patience to endure all this. And it's the same way with forgiveness. I can't just take it and like lop it off and it's be done. Everything's forgiven. I've got this grace. It takes work. It takes effort. And it takes just knocking back mile after mile, day after day after day to keep it moving. Now, 10 years from now, I may look at that maybe differently. I don't know. But right now, that's where I am. And I find that plugging away at those miles helps me see grace in a much more I can see myself being graceful. Mm-hmm. And I can apply it to my family. And so running kind of basically helps me forgive myself, maintain that forgiveness, and live with better grace.
You know, I love what you say there, because you and I, you know, we've had a pretty good friendship. And a couple of years ago, you and I both were very open about our testimonies with a bunch of our brothers. And I think that day, you know, you and my bond kind of got even stronger, because we didn't know what the other was going to say, but we both ended up talking about addiction in some sense. And we're both kind of like looking at each other like, oh, really? Yeah. Had no idea. So it was like, it was pretty cool to see that. But, you know, as somebody who struggles with that, you know, forgiving yourself, I think is something that is so, so difficult to do, because there's all that guilt and all that shame year after year after year. And you're exactly right. Just like facing an addiction and trying to beat an addiction is not going to happen all at once. It's mile after mile, day after day after day. And such is forgiveness, right? And to be able to do that for yourself, it's the same exact thing. It's a lot of hard work. So man, you just hit the nail on the head with that one for sure. So love that. So we're halfway through the year, more than halfway through the year. I'm sure you've had some setbacks, you know, so tell me about some of the challenges that you've had and maybe some of the things that you're currently facing that are kind of holding you back.
Well, first of all, let's just keep him with the DES thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 54 years old. So I've had a little bit of knee problems, and being a soccer player my whole life, I can't play anymore. Actually, I probably could play with a bunch of kiddos, but I can't cut. I can't do anything like that anymore. I have to be really careful in how I run, and I've modified a lot of my behaviors, in running. But all the soreness and little bitty issues that used to just be gone the next day kind of linger. So it takes a lot of discipline to be able to keep chugging away on the miles. And, you know, I used to think, okay, I'd stretch for 5-10 minutes. Well, I need to really stretch parts of my body every day, just to kind of be able to keep moving. So I'm learning age is definitely rearing its ugly head a little bit. So that's it's not really a setback. It's just an observation of a fact and an accepting of that. But, you know, I'm not old. As long as I keep moving, as long as I keep accelerating, I'm not getting old. I mean, there's people who are running their fastest miles in their 60s. And they've been competitive their whole life. So I know there's things that can be done. It's just, I have to change how I look at it. So those are some physical things that are going on. You know, the other things, I'd say life is really good right now. And
in the midst of a pandemic, Tom Hayes, 54, says that life is really, really good right now. So how? What?
So there's some caveats. I mean, so I'm a girl dad? Is that what they say? Girl dad. So I'm a girl dad. I got three daughters, 24, one turning 18 this Friday, and a 16-year-old. And you know, the difficulties are is talking with my 24-year-old that lives in Denver, Colorado, and she's potentially facing a layoff because business is down at the firm she works for. You know, and she's a newbie, so at some point she's low-hanging fruit.
Yep.
And trying to help her navigate that and realize that life will continue. The sun comes up tomorrow. You still will have food on the table. it may not look exactly the way you want it to look. And, you know, when she was telling me she had all this anxiety, I just dealt everything, like, you know, all those problems I've had. And for those that don't know, you can go out and read it on the Muggo from like 2 years ago. But I opened up my daughter, like, all these things that she didn't know. And I said, life is pretty good. I mean, after having short sold a house, my credit rating is now an excellent category again. I mean, shit has happened and it gets better. And it helped her kind of see the light. So helping her navigate through that. And then my 2.1, my soon-to-be 18-year-old, is going to Queen's University in Charlotte. And they just announced Thursday that they're going first semester all virtual. And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is going to be. I'm like, she had earned the right to get out of this house. And I want her to, even though I will miss her dearly. And so my mind was just racing for all these opportunities. I was, what can we do? Okay, you can go visit my sister for 2 weeks in Savannah. Old roommate in college lives in Chicago. They're willing to put you up. My nephew in Louisville, Kentucky is willing to put you up. My cousin down in Pinehurst, you can stay in his pool house for probably as long as you want to. You just have to have an internet connection so you can still do school.
Right.
And so I'm sitting there like, and I sold her on it. And all of a sudden her eyes are like brightening up and she's like, you know, this could be kind of fun. And I'm like, yeah, it could be. So, you know, when I say life is good, I mean, yeah, there's some lemons out there, but we can make them better.
Mm-hmm.
The scary thing is if she does all this stuff, the car that she was not going to take to college was going to the 16-year-old is now we're facing.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a vehicle shortage.
We're now in a vehicle shortage mode, almost. I may be buying a hoopty for a year.
Yeah. Hey. So, that's all right. Builds character in your kids, you know, drive a hoopty around for a little while. So yeah, it sounds like, you know, accelerating in the physical part of your life has kind of helped bring along acceleration in other aspects of your life, which is the entire purpose of this whole interview. Right. So I'm glad to see that. Glad that you hammered that home. With the setbacks that you had, you know, has there been any point of view or any part of you during this entire journey so far that has regretted the decision to do this?
No.
At like mile 22 and you're, you know, you just rolled your ankle off the side of the path. Is there any part of you that's, maybe I shouldn't have done this?
So I will say this. So I did the South Mountains 50K back in January. That was the first 50K so that we could just kind of qualify to do the quest for the crest. And it was mile 19 and I'd come down this like really steep run and it just comes down like this and then immediately goes back up like that. So you're going down and you're engaging quad muscles, quad muscles, quad muscles, and then you turn and immediately disengage and go into hamstrings. And my legs locked up. I mean, totally freaking locked up. And I realized from that point on, it's like when I see those changes, I have to stop and walk. And I was in like agony. And I'm like, I can't quit this. There's no way. So I finally figured it. I stretched it out and finally was able to get moving again. And basically discovered I need to just like, before I make those changes, I got to walk it through and like let the muscles just kind of relax for a moment. But man, there for like several minutes, I was in agony. I mean, Charlie horse, and it's just you're standing and you're like finding a big old stick, rubbing it behind your leg or on your leg. It was bad, but no, it's been really good. I mean, not only that, not only have we committed to, because we still have the Hanging Rock 50K October 10th, and now we have Quest October 17th. You know, I've committed to a 100K in December, and I'm really trying to wrestle my thoughts around doing Fried Eddie's 100 miler that he has in March. I'm thinking I've got to try it because while I'm in this shape, as long as I don't lose it, it's like a perfect time to just kind of like move on in.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts, but I don't know. The reward is really cool.
Yeah. And that kind of gets to the last question of my series here is that, you know, what is the motivation that's keeping you in this day after day? And, you know, you're grinding every single day to try to get better and to keep going and to get stronger. Right. What's motivating you? What keeps you in the fight?
I was a competitive soccer player all my life. Not all of it. I mean, in high school, and I played Division I college. Captain the Kentucky State Select Team through high school. I was, you know, pretty decent. I think most of it is I worked harder than anybody else. And then I also worked harder at partying more than anybody else. And, you know, drinking was getting the best of me, and then it really kind of took over. You know, I always worked hard, and then I kind of caved to the easy way. And what keeps me motivated is I like the hard. I like the difficult. There's something about it that makes me feel more alive. It energizes me. It's kind of, I think somebody said it in the book Born to Run Best that, you know, once you get over that like horrible feeling, there's like this reserve battery that's back there, and you don't even know it exists until you've kind of gone so far. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, there's still a lot of energy left. You hear Navy SEALs talk about that and people going through special forces training and stuff. But, you know, there's something about making yourself go through that and just realizing, you know, there's nothing you can't not do if you put your mind to it. And yeah, this is personal ego that takes over that makes me want to do these things, but I can easily transpose that back to, I know I'm a better father now than I was. It's like I told Campbell yesterday, you've seen these last 5 years have been, you've seen the best of me ever these last 5 years, which is how long I've not been drinking. But I think running and the meditative state that I get into when I run has helped me just come to grips with that grace and forgiveness. So I'm motivated to keep that up until such time that I find something that may work better, but it's got to stay hard and difficult.
All right. Tom, that's all I got. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your example. 54. I'm going to be 34 in about a week and a half.
And
you still hate, but like the thing is, I don't know that I've ever found that reserve battery that you're talking about. I've never, I'm not sure I have one. I'm sure I have one. I just haven't found it. So I got 20 more years, I guess, to find it and get back on your level. But anyway, I just appreciate you. Thank you for the wisdom and for your time today. And yeah, any parting thoughts?
Parting thoughts. How about parting recommendations?
Sure.
For the packs that are out there watching this, thinking of the difficult. When I met Callahan, it was over at North Cary Park.
You're not going there, are you?
and I was queuing, and of all things, I think I chose the most difficult thing because here I am, like $1.50, and odd man out was Callahan at what?
I was about 235 at that point.
235. And I'm queuing. We're doing these man carries. And the parting thoughts are, if you're going to queue, be wise in how you set it up and who you're going to man carry up this hill. Because I think I just like fell down once or twice. I mean,
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Man.
That, and then that you had third trip.
Carry it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not gonna find that reserve battery, Callahan, if you keep me, because that's like it's like holding a kitty cat or something. I mean, everybody wants to, you know, when it gets to main carries, they're like, yeah, I'll take Manjo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that was the closest I've ever come to manslaughter on a, you know, on accident. I seriously thought you were going to die. But here we are, you know?
So. Good man. Good stuff, man.
All right, brother. Yeah. All right, brother. I appreciate you. Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for watching or listening to the Muggle Story Podcast and the Accelerating Man series. This has been Tom Hayes. I'm Sam Kopinski. We'll catch you later.
Ciao.